This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 396-0577 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how's everything going?
Busy, busy, busy.
Yes, that is absolutely right. I mean, we're coming off a record June. Talking about KenmoreTeam.com, thanks to everybody that's using that site and going there, we had a record number, a company record number of closings that came directly from those website leads and referrals. And so thank you for using those. And it's really a great system when we get into that technology. We've got our in-house lending specialist, of course, Mr. Tom Coyne with Umpqua. Tom, how are you?
You know, I'm doing fantastic. I'm excited for the races this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We're going to wrap the show up here today and head down to the water.
Yeah, it is. I mean, what a summer. I mean, we've had the temperatures and everything. It's been quite a summer. So this is a big weekend for Tri-Cities. We always talk about it kind of really helps showcase Tri-Cities for a lot of people that come into the area and check it out. And they're like, hey, you know what? Maybe we should think about potentially moving here. So very good big weekend for Tri-Cities. I think they bill it as the biggest pretty much.
Yeah,
you know,
I believe so.
Every year, biggest events.
Always a great weekend.
So and the fair.
Absolutely a lot of fun stuff happening this weekend.
If you're out there driving after the races, be safe.
Yes, and I came over the bridge, so please try not to watch the boats as I came over the bridge over here. So, yeah, absolutely, please, if you're crossing the bridges, keep an eye on the road for sure. Well, Tom, we're kind of at that point where, you know, we have a great topic for the show. Before we jump into it, I know we want to talk about, though, Freddie Mac really kind of came out with a huge housing report, and you said, you know what, Lance, we need to look at the state of housing, where it's at, look at the markets, projections. We're going to go over a little bit next week, but let's kind of dig into what's going on with housing right now. And that's a great topic. So I'm glad you brought that in.
Yeah, you know, Freddie Mac rolled out their annual economic outlook report, and that came out just right at the tail end of last June. I just had a chance to really dissect it because it's about 40 to 50 pages long. So there's a lot of information in here, but there's a lot of things that we wouldn't necessarily even look to go into. And so I'm really excited to talk about it, and we'll cover it.
Okay, perfect. Before we jump into all the details of that report, we always like to start with our crazy celebrity real estate story. Last month, now this one went pretty quick. Last month, I had brought one of the stories was that the Breakfast at Tiffany's brownstone that was used in the movies that you saw, you know, Audrey Hepburn and George Peppard in front of on the steps, that was listed for $8 million last month, and that has sold for $7.4 million.
That was quick.
Yeah, quick sale. And so it was interesting because since we're going to kind of be talking about the state of housing and market, we do a lot of those stories, and we hear about those celebrity housing and massive price reductions or not selling years later. But interesting enough, I went back in the property history on this one. That house had listed in 2011 and for $6 million, and it sold for like $5.97 million in 2012. And for them now to get $7.4 million, 23% increase in 3 years. Hmm. So kind of, you know, quite a rebound there for sure. Now, we always like to pair that national celebrity real estate story with a local real estate story. Now, you're going to be wondering, though, I'm bringing this local real estate story from the Wall Street Journal. So, yeah, crazy. Last week, doing some research and stuff for the show and stuff, Kennewick, Washington listed in a Wall Street Journal article that the title is Bidding Wars Back for Homes. So Wall Street Journal lists this article, Bidding Wars Back for Homes. And what they talk about is that in a lot of the metro markets, we are seeing homes now go $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 over list price. They specifically list in the article Denver, Seattle, and Portland. And so they talk about how last decade, you know, a lot of the reasons for this was loose regulations on mortgage, easy money to get. This bidding war go around that's coming up has a lot more to do with a lower supply of homes. So kind of on a national level, lower supply of homes. But it was interesting where we got mentioned is it said the big markets also include San Francisco with a median time on the market of 27 days, Dallas at 38 days. And then it says as well as smaller markets like Visalia, California at 26 days and Kennewick, Washington at 36 days on the market.
How about that?
So really interesting to, you know, see that mentioned in the Wall Street Journal. And it kind of really backs up a lot of, you know, what we talk about here on the show. So that was a great leader into today's topic. And that's where we're looking at the housing market and the state of the housing market. So I've got some great, great local data that I ran so we could kind of give the local stats on what's going here. But before we jump into that, let's hear some from Tom. We'll kind of split it up into two segments today. I'm going to let Tom jump into some of that overview of the housing market. We'll look at the macro view, and then we'll bring it back locally. So, Tom, what do you got going on for us over there?
Well, you know, this report started off with talking about how the housing market is somewhat pivoting right now. So not only are more Americans taking out a mortgage to purchase a home, but after 7 years of decline, debt on outstanding single-family homes is actually increasing on a year-over-year basis. So this is another sign that the economy and housing markets are getting back more towards normalcy. Now, we're likely to see millions more households, millions more homeowners over the next 5 years, which will drive that outstanding mortgage debt even higher. Now, again, this just means that more people are buying homes. And back in like 2007, 2008, when the economy was in that decline, people were foreclosing on their properties and people were having to sell. And that was reducing this figure on the total amount of mortgages out there. And we're making a rebound on that, which is nice to see. Now, another thing that they look at to see are we back to more of normal levels is how much of a mortgage debt increases after a sale of a home. Now, in normal times, when someone sells in a property, an existing property, their mortgage debt on their next home will increase about 30%. And that's what happens in normal times. And this is one thing that, Lance, I would never even think to look at a statistic like this. So it was interesting to see that.
Yeah, I'm just running that through my head because, so you're saying, so when someone upgrades or is increasing the size of their home, that when they decide to make that upgrade in a normal housing market, they generally increase the amount of their mortgage by 30% to the next house.
Exactly. So some numbers here. Let's say you close a loan that was at $170,000. If you increase by 30%, your next house would be $225,000 for an increase of $55,000 loan. Now, from 2008 all the way up until 2013, we were only seeing 10% or so increases. And this correlates right there when we were having this little mini recession that we were in. But we're all the way back to about the normal level since 1995. So that is a good indicator that people aren't, like, say, moving down. Their houses that they're currently in is more than what they could afford. They're continuing to increase the amount of mortgages that they're borrowing. Now, Total Purchase Applications Index is an index they run to see how much activity is out there, how many people are getting in the market and getting ready to buy a house. It's still weak, but it is trending up, which is nice to see. Ever since, again, 2007 till about 2014, there was a pretty steady decline. But so far this year, those trends are starting to tick up, showing that more people are getting into the housing market.
So that's another interesting statistic because I think I get jaded by our local market, right? Mm-hmm. Because I'm not every day in those other markets. So I would not have guessed that. So the number of activities in the mortgage market as a whole and the housing market is still relatively low to the highs we saw.
You know, extremely low. It's about, looking at this chart here I'm looking at, it is about maybe 30% of what it was in from 2003 to 2008.
Okay, I wouldn't have guessed that either. But here, once again, I'm in the local market.
Yep,
things have
absolutely.
Been real steady. We've been busy. So, okay, so that's good to know that we're still fairly low there. Okay, good one.
And this Freddie Mac report, this is national news. So what we see here locally, it doesn't always correlate exactly with what we're seeing on a national level. So keep that in mind. Now, another thing that's really nice to see is a rebound in home prices. So in 2006, this goes all the way back from 2000 to 2015. 2007 was the high point of home prices, and 2012 was the lowest point. We are 25% above what the lowest point for housing prices, which was back in 2012, and we're only 8% from the peak. So we're really seeing a strong rebound in housing prices since 2000, which is really nice to see. Now, from March of last year to March of this year, home prices rose in almost every state across the nation. Now, Lance, if you had to guess four states that rose the most, what do you think those would be?
Well, I've got friends in Texas that tell me everything's good in Texas. I would think that I don't know if Nevada has, maybe my next guess would be Nevada has come up. They've rebounded a little bit.
You're doing good.
Texas, Nevada. Oh gosh, I'm going to do a third one.
Okay.
I'm going to do a third one.
Okay.
Texas, Nevada. I know North Dakota has not done well with the oil slowdown. Let's go East Coast and throw Florida in there.
You did so good. That was great. Okay.
what do we got?
So of the four that rose the most, over 9%, Florida was on the list.
Yes.
Nevada was on the list.
Yes.
Washington was on the list.
Oh, gosh. I left out. Here we are.
And Colorado. You said Texas. They rose 6 to 9%.
Okay. I wasn't sure Washington did that well because I didn't think we had fallen as far. But Washington was one of the top four.
Yep. They rose over 9% in that 1 year period from March of 14 to 15. Now, there was only a handful of states that actually lost value. That was Arkansas, Massachusetts, Maryland, Delaware, Connecticut, and Vermont. But everyone across the country, for the most part, saw some increases.
Man, that
in the
East Coast corridor got hit pretty hard there.
I would have thought New York and New Jersey with a mass exodus of people.
Yeah, it's really, really. Those are interesting facts, Tom. And so I think we're coming up on our first hard break there, but that is amazing information that Tom has brought to us from this report. Great, great look at the overall housing market and what we're seeing as kind of the state of the nation. When we come back from the break, we're going to dive into some of the local statistics, what has happened this year in Tri-Cities in the first 6 months through the end of June. We're going to go over that. We're going to get another look at some more national information, and we'll be right back to do that after this break.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been kind of doing a State of the Nation Housing Report, State of the Tri-Cities, mid-year. Let's look and see, what's the nation doing? What are we doing here in Tri-Cities? And we kind of really have delved into some stats and sales numbers there. And so we're going to take a look at that. Before we do, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to talk about local information. Tom's going to talk about national. We're going to run out of time because we have so much great material. I'm going to get in my pick three because we've got some fantastic new listings out there I want to make sure people are aware of. We're kind of bringing on what I call that second wave of inventory. Maybe there's some people that have waited until school was out. They've been fixing the properties up at the first part of the summer, and they're like, I want to hit that second big selling season. And so we're getting a ton of those listings and referrals right now. Pick number one. 35703, this is North Redstone out in Benton City. This is a fantastic, fantastic value. This home is a three-bedroom, two-bath out in Benton City. Just about 1,200 square feet. They got hardwood floors in the living and dining rooms. great big kitchen with tons of cabinets and a breakfast bar. Master suite has the walk-in closet. You're getting all of this fully fenced yard with a patio on about a third of an acre, plus a 20 by 12 shop that has electrical and a storage room. And we're coming in priced at $110,000 right there. So, I mean, that's just a great, great deal in that location. Pick number two, another fantastic new listing, 4030 West Deschutes in Kennewick. This is a four-bedroom, three-bath home that's in a great, quiet Kennewick neighborhood, almost 2,500 square feet. You've got the living room with the masonry fireplace, the kitchen. They've updated the countertops. They've done the tile backsplash, the tile flooring. You've got a great master, big master suite with a sitting area, private bath in the master there. Then on the lower level, you have a huge family room, a second fireplace, and a bar area for all those Seahawks parties that are going to be sneaking up on us, Tom, for sure. You're getting all of this with an in-ground pool and cabana area, and that's coming in on just over 0.4 of an acre. And that's priced at $209,900.
Wow, that sounds like a nice place.
I mean, you're getting, it's a great, great listing. I don't expect that one to last through the weekend. Pick number three, 559 Cammy Street in Richland. This is one of those really coveted South Richland locations. Four bedroom, two bath Rambler. So you're getting all of it on one level, 2250 square feet, open floor plan. You've got the vaulted ceilings. This is a newer built home, granite counters in the kitchen, full tile backsplash, right by where they're building the new Orchard Elementary there off of the Keene Corridor. And that's coming in at $295,000. So some great, great new listings out there. A lot of good new inventory to go take a look at. Now we're going to get into, we need that new inventory. I'm glad we've got three new listings because, as we've said before, we're just kind of doing a state of the market today and looking at what does the market look like halfway through, 6 months in. We've been talking about sales numbers. We've talked about the hotter market. So one of the things I did, I went directly into our system, started pulling those stats, and sure enough, I mean, it is the barn burner that we've been talking about. Number of sales through the end of June in 2015, 1,944. Okay, if we go through June of 2014, that number is only 1,541.
Ooh, wow.
That is a 26% increase year over year for the same time period for 2014.
Wow.
Very same for 2013, 26%. If you go back to 2012, not that long ago, you look at January through June numbers for 2012, and there was only 1,385 sales this time period in 2012, and we're looking at 1,944 right now. Within a three-year time frame, that is a 40% increase in the number of first half-year sales. Hmm. So, in the meantime, what has that done? Well, when we've talked about it, all of those homes are not getting replaced as fast as they're being sold. When we look back at 2014 through December of last year, we had consistently maintained, you know, an 1,100 unit inventory in the market through most of 14. Started to go down a little bit November, December. We thought it was seasonal, but we never recovered. And that's what I think happened. A lot of people thought, gosh, this might be seasonal. You know, the inventory always goes down a little bit those months. But we never recovered from that number, December and January. We have maintained through the first half of 2015, we have stayed below 900 homes as the active inventory.
Wow.
And when you look at a month like June that had 413 closed sales, and you look at the total active residential units of 832, if we maintained that pace in July and August, that would mean, and no other new homes came on the market, that would mean we would have a 2 month supply of homes.
You know, it's interesting if you say, okay, what if all those 400 people bought, you know, one of two houses? They only have two houses to choose from if you look at it like that.
Yes.
You know, short inventory.
That is a great way to paint the picture and look at it. And that is when what happens is you have markets like Kennewick, Washington, getting mentioned in the Wall Street Journal mm-hmm. for those types of articles. So, you know, it's really that interesting dynamic that we've been put into. So another thing that I went ahead and did is I was looking, and Tom's like, hey, let's run these market stats, look at what else we have going on. And so that article in the Wall Street Journal indicated a 36 days on the market for Kennewick. Now, I look at the whole market for Tri-Cities at the metro area. I ran some price brackets to look at days on the market. So last year, when we go back to 2014, we were looking at most of the year at 75 days being average time on the market. So, you know, 2.5 months there, basically. When you look at the price bracket, 100 to 2,000, which is arguably the most competitive bracket right now to be trying to buy in, the average days on the market in that price point is only 37 days. So those homes are moving very, very quickly. If you go 250 to 400, so we push that up a little bit, this is why when you're pricing, you really have to look at these brackets and who your competition is. When we go 250 to 400, that days on the market number increases to 61. So, you know, you're basically adding another month to your marketing time frame when you're looking at that price point. Interesting enough, I thought if I ran the stats 400 to 600, we get down to where there's only, you know, there's only less than 100 sales, you know, for the first 6 months in that bracket. I thought the days on the market would go up even more. Shockingly, when I ran the numbers, and this is, you know, I love doing all this research and makes me more knowledgeable too, it was only one day higher, 62 days on the market to 400, 600. So really, 250 to 600, we're at that 62 days on the market. But the bulk of our market being very, very competitive in that $100,000 to $200,000 range. So we talk about on the show, having your pre-approval letter ready, having that pre-approval done with a local reputable lender. So when you're, when as a seller, you very likely with stats like this could be looking at multiple offers. As a buyer, you could be competing against other buyers. When there's four offers and three are with out of town lenders and one's with a local lender that we know about, I've sat in those meetings with the sellers. We've evaluated those offers. That makes a big difference in their decision. Portland being the same way. I had a family member buying a property in Portland this last week. And so we made sure we had that pre-approval letter for that family member. I was kind of coaching them through this process. They had lost two homes and multiple offers already, not being prepared for that type of market. And we helped, you know, we wrote that buyer letter explaining the situation, explaining how strong they were. And so it's just some of these things to be prepared for. The statistics that we're going over, the market numbers that we're seeing are really kind of unprecedented for our area. And so relating those to helping people still be able to get into those homes or on the sell side, maximize the value that you're going to get. Looking at the numbers, the envelope that we can push a little bit so that we maintain still a very, very healthy low days on the market number. It's one of the things, too, that we really help sellers get the most amount of money in the least amount of time. I re-ran the stats just to look at my own numbers for days on the market prior to the show because I was doing all this research and very, very excited about our personal days on the market. If you have any questions or are thinking about listing your home and want to take advantage of that most amount of money in the least amount of time, please go to kenmoreteam.com and send us a message and we can talk about relating these statistics to more money in your pocket. So that's kind of our cap overview of the local market, Tom. I know you had some more stats about the national market. It's fun to see the local market and the national market, a lot of the stuff you're talking about really relating to Tri-Cities. Because so many times in our history, as I look back over the last 15, 16 years in real estate, so many times in the Tri-Cities, we're opposite the national market. But we're actually trending for a number of reasons with that market. So I'm interested to hear what other stats did you see that jumped out to you in that report from Freddie Mac?
Well, you know, Lance, we've talked about rates and how they've been increasing lately. And this report was ran as of middle of June. It goes all the way back through December 2014. December 2014, we ended the year at 3.87 on a 30-year fix. And it peaked out at 4.04 on June 11th. So that was the highest rates have been so far this year. And it kind of shows an increasing trend. However, it is darn near historical lows. I pulled up a chart all the way back to 1971, where when rates were about 7.5%, and the chart is above 7 the whole way through up until we get to about 2007 or so, 2005, and it starts trending down. Historical low since 1971 was November 22nd, 2012, when the 30-year was at 3.31. You were just talking how in 2012, about that time period, we only were having 1,300 sales through the first part of the year, which is interesting to me because rates were incredibly low. And so it's strange that more people weren't getting into the market with, you know, we're looking at rates right now, they're low. And I felt like maybe that's the reason why so many people are jumping in the market to take advantage of these rates.
Right.
But we didn't see that in 2012, it didn't look like.
No, I mean, we had some other factors, which is interesting because, like I said, a lot of times Tri-Cities is going a little bit opposite. But with that change and, you know, too, I think a factor that's included in that is that people now are starting to get this type of information mm-hmm. that we're giving out on the show. And they're like, oh, hey, I can now see that graph. We hit a historic low from 1970. And now that graph's starting to trend up a little bit. This is probably, I better jump in on this before that train gets back to 7.5.
October 8th, 1981, 18.63%.
Ooh. 1981.
Can you imagine what a house payment would be on 200 grand at 18%?
18%. I mean, it seems so far removed from reality that it doesn't even seem like a possibility, but that just blows my mind.
Now, another thing that a little chart that I'm looking at here that it shows me that the economy is improving, people's personal financial budgets are getting better, is that serious delinquent rates are declining and they're going down quite a bit. For all mortgages, currently only 4% of people are delinquent on their loan. That got all the way up to 8% fourth quarter in 2009. So we like seeing that decline. The job picture is actually improving as unemployment rate is going down. It looks like they're currently sitting around 5.5%. And the average from 1948 through 2014 was 5.8%. So over the last 60 years, we're below the average unemployment rate.
And, you know, when we went, I think a couple months ago, we did a show where we had talked with the TriDec, the staff at TriDec and the executive members at TriDec. And that chart you just gave, that job picture, was a huge, huge driver of the Tri-Cities growth. Our shortness in some of the housing is that job picture has changed dramatically around here. Those, you know, our unemployment rate has gotten even lower. And so new jobs created. So, yeah, that's driving a big factor in our local economy.
Now, Lance, you talked about before the break the Wall Street Journal talking about bidding wars, and it correlates right to this report where it's talking about we've gone from an oversupply of housing to an undersupply of housing, especially with rental properties. So people are going out there, they're not being able to find rentals, and they're saying, let's buy a house, but then there's not a lot of houses in the market either. So that's triggering those bidding wars to happen. Now, the next thing I wanted to talk about, and it's kind of interesting to me, is that how does homeownership and mortgage vary by age? And so it makes sense that most young households start off as renters, and then we see homeownership rise between the late 20s, early 30s, and then that starts to decline as the household age rises. So you think about it like, you know, someone gets out of college, they buy a house, and then as you get older, you retire and you're paying off your mortgage. So the boomer generation is the primary majority of households with 44.3 million households nationwide, which I like seeing this number, 11.5 million of them have their house paid off, with 21.7 of them having a mortgage still and 11.1 renting. Now, the group that has the highest potential growth would be the millennials. And millennials are born 1980 to 1994. So these are young people, but 14 million of them renting, 5.3 actually have a mortgage. And so when you see 14 million people renting, that's where we're going to see our next homeowners coming in, is those millennials at 14 million, Generation X at 12.7. Those two have definitely the highest potential growth to become homeowners here in the coming years.
So there's 20 million of them, ages 20 and over, 94 to 2014, 20. Mm-hmm. There's 20 million of them, and 14 million of them are still renting?
Are renting. Only 5.3 actually own properties.
Okay. I'm going to have to hire somebody younger.
There you go.
Oh, I don't know if I can do that. No, I can't hire based on age. Sorry. Never mind.
That's
a good, you know, they talk about marketing and marketing to, you know, where your buyer's going to be. And so... that'll be really interesting to see. That group is going to have a lot of purchasing power coming up.
You know, they really are. You know, this report that we just went through is really only half of what the entire report is. So I'm excited for next week. It's more of a forecasting show looking forward through 2015 and 16 and giving you from Freddie Mac's perspective what we can expect to see the housing economy be.
Tom, that sounds great. A lot of fantastic information. Really fun to take that national information related to our local market. Mm-hmm. If you have any questions about how these trends relate to your housing situation, looking for help in that buying situation or getting those houses listed on the market for sale, please go to kenmoreteam.com and let us know. And we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.